Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers, right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
AT&T Fiber presents a straightforward moment.
Your wine?
Thanks. I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gagillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase at 12 months. Live like a gagillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
Relatively quiet around the NBA champions, though they did lose Bruce Brown to a free agent deal for the Indiana Pacers. So he is gone, despite Mike Malone's hopes and dreams expressed at the championship parade. We certainly have seen plenty of other big moves in NBA free agency, and some of them coming via trade. The latest, another pickup for the Mavericks, meaning another subtraction for the Boston Celtics. We'll get to that coming up. And Giannis went through a surgery of his own, even as we talk about some of the big men like Nikola Jokic in the NBA. I love that it's Jokic and it's Giannis and it's Joel Embiid right now who are competing for MVPs as they stay healthy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Always glad to connect with you. Hope you're getting back into the groove after the July 4th extended weekend. My neighbors didn't get home until late on Tuesday evening, and they just have a couple of days to work. But we've been here all week. Some of you may be on vacation. If you're out of your typical routine, your familiar rhythms, we're glad to have you with us. Just find us on either Twitter or Facebook or the new competition for Twitter, which is apparently called Threads. It's connected to your Insta account. Oh, we'll get into that. Maybe it means you're really cool if you have a Threads account. Except Peter Schwartz has declared on Twitter that he has a Threads account. Is that so that people will leave Twitter and go to Threads? Is that how it works?
That's what I've seen people doing now. They're putting their Thread link on their Twitters to kind of like, hey, like.
But that defeats the purpose.
I think it's like a telling sign now. Like, hey, I'm not going to be here for much longer. Find me on Threads.
Oh, no, Peter Schwartz. Don't let the good Lord hit you where the door splits you or something like that. Oh, no, I got it. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. There you go. I stink at my cliches. All right, we'll get to that coming up. Plus the Michael Rubin July 4th party that featured a bunch of high-profile athletes. I don't know if Draymond Green was there. I didn't see him. But I feel like he's pretty cool after what we saw with the match on TNT late last week in Vegas. He just doesn't know his golf. But he does know his hoops. And he will remain with the Golden State Warriors. Why did he decide to stay for less money? Well, that's a question we are going to pose as we welcome Madeline Kenny, who covers the Warriors for Bay Area News Group, fresh off some time in Sacramento watching rookies and summer league and everything else that's going on now in the offseason. So we're pleased to have her on the show for the first time. Madeline, I'll pose that question to you. Why did Draymond decide to re-sign in Golden State for less money?
Yeah, I think there was always a belief in anyone that you talk to amongst the Warriors that Draymond was going to come back. It was just going to depend on how much in terms. And he made it very clear that he wanted to come back on a longer deal, one that, you know, would line him up with Steph Curry. And so I think in taking less money for next season, it gives the Warriors a little bit more flexibility. Still, they can only offer, you know, a veteran minimum to any guys that they add. But it puts them in a better position. It puts Draymond in a better position in his final year as a player option. So it saves the Warriors money on taxes, like more than $40 million. So just everyone kind of got a little bit of what they wanted. The Warriors going to save some money. They get Draymond for another 3+ years. Draymond gets that longer-term deal. It all worked out in the end.
Any idea if there would have been suitors or if there were outside suitors for Dray?
You know, Draymond's name was linked to a few other teams, including some Western Conference teams. But at the end of the day, I always had the suspicion that I just couldn't see him leaving Steph, especially with how last season ended up. And then it just seemed inevitable that he would eventually come back. It just was a matter of like how many years and whether or not he was going to opt in or out of his player option.
I thought it was so much fun to see him and Steph and also Clay interact at the match on Thursday. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, but boy, they are a hoot when they're together.
Yeah, totally. I think this is all those years of building and winning together. And obviously with winning comes championship parades and parties. So they know how to have a good time, it seems.
What's your reaction to the Jordan Poole move? So he's no longer part of that roster, or Dante DiVincenzo. So it seems like, again, Madeline, they're willing to shuffle the roster around this core, what feels like every season.
Yeah, I mean, it totally was a double down move to send the message that they want to win now. They want to capitalize on Steph Curry's prime for as long as they possibly can. And so in moving Jordan Poole, even with Draymond Green coming back, it seemed likely that one of them, as much as they put on brave faces, they worked professionally together, seemed like eventually one would have to go for the other to stay. And so with moving Jordan Poole away, that puts him in like a different, you know, environment. He's going to have an opportunity to be one of the go-to guys in Washington. I think it kind of gives him a bigger opportunity. And with that too, it opened up the opportunity for Chris Paul, obviously, to come in. The Warriors are definitely shifting to having, you know, more veteran guys in the locker room. Their bench last year was extremely young, and with that came some growing pains that the bench early on in the season was still trying to figure out its identity and stuff. And so bringing in guys like Chris Paul, Corey Joseph, like those are older guys. They, kind of slow down the game a little bit. And, you know, the Warriors like to play fast, so it'd be really interesting to see how that all plays out, obviously. But also, Steve Kerr can trust them, right? Like, they're low turnover rate guys. So I think these are all moves, obviously, to build a contender for next season.
Madeline Kenny is with us from the Bay Area, where she covers the Warriors for Bay Area News Group. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I've heard Draymond talk extensively about what Chris Paul can mean for this group. How does he fit in terms of his skill set, not so much his personality?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting with Chris Paul, right? Obviously, there's a little bit of history with the Warriors, but it seems like they're all very excited for this union. He has started every game of his career, and you know, when you start to look at the Warriors roster as it is and where he fits, it seems, you know, more likely than not that he's going to have to be coming off the bench for the first time in his career. Maybe the Warriors look at a three-guard lineup, you know, close out, but I just can't imagine that the Warriors want to start small that often. You know, they have done it in the past, starting a three-guard lineup with Jordan Poole and having Kevon Looney come off the bench, so that's definitely an option. But it'll be really interesting. You know, Chris Paul obviously gives them a veteran leader for that second unit, you know, assuming he's coming off the bench. And he can, you know, really help slow down the game. He can help some of the young players take that next leap in their careers. So I think it'll be really interesting to see just how the fit is and how it all plays out. It also gives the Warriors flexibility, financial flexibility in the long term, which is obviously a huge storyline with this team that's paid all of their superstars, rightfully so.
The Warriors, obviously, they play on that edge where they like to go fast and move the ball around, and sometimes that leads to turnovers. So it strikes me that Chris Paul could certainly be a weapon for them if they're trying to handle the ball efficiently and yet distribute and get everybody involved. Looking back at last season, why was their road record so bad?
I mean, that was the question of the year, even at the end of it. I don't think Steve Kerr could give you a straight answer as to why there was such a massive discrepancy. It just seemed like they were a totally different team whenever they left the Bay Area. Their defense dropped off. And I think a lot of that comes down to, though, is when you're on the road, you really need to be you have to have strong team chemistry. And it just seemed like last season was so disjointed, and there was a fracture in the team culture. They struggled to come together. They struggled to close out games late in the fourth and just shut the door. It's not all the result of what happened in the preseason with Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole, but that definitely did have a dark cloud, as Steve Kerr said, looming over the team throughout the entire season. You know, obviously they were able to play together on the court and have win games together on the court. But in the end, there was just a fracture of that championship identity or culture that they have built. And it takes time to rebuild that.
Madeline Kenny is with us from the Bay Area, covers the Warriors as they try to piece together another roster that will compete in the West. Since we've heard from that core, they do not believe the window is closed. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So what else do they need then? You mentioned the move toward veteran guys that can fill out the roster. What else do they still look for?
They could always use some size, right? The Warriors are probably one of the only teams, that, if not the only team, that doesn't have a guy that is taller than 6'9". I mean, they like to play that small ball, but I think that they could really use some depth in their front court. So finding another guy that's still available, and you can always go for a versatile two-way wing, right? I think they're pretty good on the guard spot right now, based off of their recent signings. But right now, the main priority after signing Draymond Green, obviously, is getting some front court depth.
It is funny because, as you said that, I was looking at the roster, and right now there are exactly three guys who stand 6'9", and no one who stands taller than that.
Which is kind of crazy when you think about it, right? That's why they went after James Wiseman with the number 2 overall pick a few years ago. They were trying to add some size, and there was always questions, you know, when James Wiseman was dealing with the injuries he had when he was with the Warriors, you know, are they going to go get a big in the buyout market? Are they going to add one in the offseason? And, you know, they stuck to it with James Wiseman, and before, obviously, he was dealt at the deadline last season. But they won without size before. So.
Right. In the wake of Bob Myers stepping down, which I think was a shock to a lot of people in the NBA world, what's the biggest difference between him and what the Warriors get with Mike Dunleavy Jr.?
You know, obviously, Mike Dunleavy Jr. has been around for the last few seasons. He's a familiar face to a lot of them. I think Bob Myers was grooming him to be his successor, knowing that, you know, at some point this potentially was going to happen. And with his contract expiring, I think Bob just wanted to go to the beach, honestly, and chill out and relax. You know, being a general manager and the team president of basketball operations, those are really high stress jobs. And I think he paid his dues with the Warriors. They won 4 titles. They went to several more NBA finals. He saw that it was a time. He's a father too, so wanting to spend time with his kids and wanting to spend time with his wife, you can never fault somebody with that. But with some of you, have a guy that's already been praised for his basketball knowledge, his ability to identify talent. You know, he's been in a lot of those meetings and in the front office and with Joe Lacob and stuff in recent seasons. He obviously has relationships with Steve Kerr, a very close one, which is extremely important. You know, the GM-coach relationship, having that, where they can have an open line of communication and open dialogue about, you know, what Steve thinks, what Mike thinks, and all of that. And he's also been around Steph, Draymond, Clay, and those are 3 of the most important voices within the organization. So once you have the respect of them, then it's kind of like a trickle-down effect. So it's really hard to say, you know, how they're different, but I think time will tell with that. But I know that a lot of people are excited for him, you know, to take this next step in his career.
Definitely a pre-established relationship that helps in the continuity and consistency from one man to the next. And actually, that triggered a thought. I know that Andre Iguodala had wrist surgery. He's been with this group for a long time, too. Even more now, as kind of a veteran, a leader, maybe like a coach on the bench. Is he going to be back with the team next year?
I think he said at the beginning of last season that it would be his last. And he said, he kind of said on his podcast, you know, Steph, don't ask me to come around again after this season, because he's 39 now. And so I don't anticipate him signing any type of at minimum. I don't know if coaching is something that he sees himself doing. You know, he just recently got a stake in an NWSL team coming to the Bay Area, an ownership stake, that is. And so he could still pop around the Warriors next season. He was at the California Classic opener for the Warriors just a few days ago. And so, you know, I think it might be hard for him to leave just because he's been around. He has such strong relationships with a lot of those guys. But I also think he deserves to be able to enjoy retirement, you know, whenever he officially announces that he is retired.
Madeline Kenny is with us from San Francisco, covers the Warriors for Bay Area News Group. What stands out about what you've seen so far from Summer League and rookies and the off-season hoops?
For the Warriors, some of the guys to watch in Summer League are going to be Lester Quinones. He was in the running, a front runner for a two-way deal. He went undrafted out of Memphis. He had a two-way with the Warriors for part of last season. Guy Santos is another one to watch. He was a second rounder last year. Spent all of last season in the G League. He's put on 15 pounds of muscle. Wow. Seeing how that, you know, will impact his game. And as he, you know, adjusts from, he's a Brazilian, so adjusting from that type of playing style to the more physical American game, he's made so much progress over the last year. It's kind of cool to see. And then the other one is Brandon Pajemski. He's the 19th overall pick out of Santa Clara. 20-year-old, very confident in his abilities, and now it's just he's in that transition period, right, of going from college to pro and all of the whirlwind that comes with that. He had a pretty mixed bag for his opener on Monday, but saw a lot of progress in today's game, just being more aggressive, being more decisive. The Warriors want him to put him in situations so he can be a scoring option for them, and so seeing that and maybe even seeing how he grows on the defensive side, those are some of the things to watch for the Warriors in Summer League.
Does it ever surprise you anymore, the popularity of not just this team and how it's grown over the last decade, but its stars in Steph and Dre and Clay?
I mean, it is something that it's really hard to explain to people unless you're just around it, like the circus that it is. People have compared it to, like, a traveling boy band like the Beatles or something. Maybe more recent one would be like One Direction. I don't know. But it is crazy. Like, you go to some of these arenas and you see more Steph Curry jerseys than jerseys the star player on the home team. You see fans, you know, lining up outside hotels and stuff or coming early to just to watch him warm up. You hear them chant his name and stuff. And it is, you know, super surreal to see and witness it all. You have to, like, take a step back sometimes and just appreciate it, just because you know that this is it's fun now and it'll always be like a great memory, but these things don't always last. And the fact that the Warriors have been able to keep it together this long with that group, that's something super special and extremely rare in the NBA. You know, I think I was reading the other day that Steph, Draymond, Clay, since Dame has requested a trade, it's those three, and then Giannis are the only players in the NBA, I believe, who served 10 years with the team that's drafted them or something like that.
Whoa.
That's crazy, you
it
know?
Is.
And so I think that loyalty that those three have to the franchise and then the success they've had speaks for itself. So I always encourage fans, you know, when they get passionate about what's going on, you know, just enjoy it. You know, this is just sports at the end of the day. Just enjoy the fact that you're watching history be made.
I know that they reignited my love for the game and what I fell in love with in the first place about basketball. Mm-hmm. And so it is a joy to watch them, even when they win all of, what was it, 9 games on the road last season. So that definitely could be infuriating, I could imagine, for fans.
Totally. You know, luckily most of the fans, I think, are in the Bay Area. But, I mean, I know I feel bad. There's it seems like poor New Orleans – with whoever's making the schedules must have something out against them, because it seems like the Warriors are always playing that game on playing in New Orleans on the end of a back-to-back. And so Steph hasn't played. He didn't play there at all last season.
Wow.
And maybe not even the season before. And so something that's hard is when with load management and stuff, trying to manage these guys, and it means that they might not play games on the road, and fans that live outside the home team town don't always get a chance to see their favorite players.
And there definitely are many. I mean, they're more of a international phenomenon now, this core, especially Steph. So you can find Madeline Kenney on Twitter at MadKenny. I love that. KENNEY. Covers the Warriors for the Bay Area News Group and giving us the latest on their off-season dealings. It's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Draymond never really was considering anywhere else. Just wanted to line up and have the number of years tacked on that would put him on the same track as Steph. And the three of them, Steph, Dre, Clay, they've got something special. Wow, that was a really incredible stat. Kind of took me off guard. As she said, she had read recently that with Damian Lillard requesting a trade, other than Giannis, those three are the only guys who've had more than 10 years with the team that drafted them in the entire NBA. How is that possible? Four dudes who've been at least 10 years with the franchise that drafted him? It's because it's the NBA where everyone plays with his BFF. It just happens that Steph, Dre, and Clay are in fact BFFs. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, we appreciate Madeline. Our entire show is podcasted almost commercial-free every weekday morning. Our conversations with our guests are podcasted in their own separate links, so you can always find that on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on Facebook each weekday morning. We got the latest on Giannis, who did have a surgery of his own. We've got Twitter's new competitor. And did you see the guest list at Michael Rubin's July 4th party? All right. Sports figures can be celebrities too. By the way, my finger is still attached to my body, but
AT&T Fiber presents a straightforward moment.
Your wine?
Thanks. I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gigillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase at 12 months. Live like a gigillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
It's barely hanging on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Do you get a promotion every year? On your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, I don't know, provide a house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A passionate Giannis when the Milwaukee Bucks were ousted by the Miami Heat early in this year's Eastern Conference playoffs. Now, they have made the move to secure Chris Middleton and keep him on board, which I think is huge because Giannis and Middleton are an extremely productive duo. They play well together. They've got a lot of time logged. Obviously, a championship run as well. What we find out, though, about Giannis is that he's having a little bit of cleanup done this offseason. So he went through a procedure on his left knee. Adrian Griffin, who's taken over as the head coach.
He had a routine surgery on his left knee, and it went great. Everything went as planned, and we expect him back ready to go in training camp.
Well, and even before training camp, which starts in October, I believe, the two-time MVP is still considering the FIBA World Cup. I don't know if that's possible. It's still, well, six, seven weeks away, and it takes place in the Philippines. So you're talking about a bunch of travel and then him maybe putting pressure on that knee when ultimately his goal is to be ready for the start of the NBA training camp. But he does love to play for Greece. He was part of the national team last summer in Europe and also during the 2019 World Cup. So always good to hear Giannis news. Can't wait to see him on the court again, especially when he's completely healthy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, if you were wondering about the trade, the Boston Celtics at some point, Brad Stevens, I'm sure will explain why he ships Grant Williams to Dallas. Now, this is a sign-in trade, and because Grant was a restricted free agent, means that other teams can match. Or the Celtics can match what other teams might offer. And so it could be as simple as that. 4 years, $53 million is what Grant Williams will get with the Mavericks. And it's a three-team sign-and-trade. It's just, it's kind of convoluted. Mostly it's draft picks flying around along with Reggie Bullock. So that is the piece for San Antonio. Bullock and then an unprotected first-round pick in 2030. Seriously,
and it's a swap. It's not an. It's right. It's a swap.
So we're now we're now dealing picks and swapping picks in 2030.
Right. Well, because you can't do it year to year, so you got to do it every other year. So it becomes a long and ridiculous process.
Exactly. It's really stupid that you can actually deal picks in 2030, 7 years from now.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, GMs are like, hey, I ain't going to be here. Sure, you can have that one.
Right, exactly.
You want the pick in 2032? No problem. I'll be on my couch.
Good point. A lot of the players, general managers, coaches that were part of the teams when these moves are made will not still be around seven years from now. My goodness. Now, Williams is a guy who not only can shoot really well from three, he doesn't shoot a ton of threes, but when he's in a groove, he'll shoot threes, and I think shoots nearly 40% from downtown, but also is a good defensive player. And we saw that against Miami, even as they were coming back from 0-3 down to tie 3-3. And what do the Mavericks need? Well, they need defense. Luka's not a great defensive player. Kyrie is allergic to defense. Every now and then he'll do some for show, but you've got this player who really does bring some grit. He's physical. And so I like what Dallas is doing. I guess they're not done yet. They still have their mid-level exception for those of you who are paying attention, because this was a sign and trade. So they're looking for another player still to add in free agency. And meanwhile, Boston was trying to get out from underneath the money, right? They're trying to clear more space because they brought in KP and his salary. But it does speak to the fact that Brad Stevens is willing to dissect and pull apart the core that he had that went to the NBA Finals last summer, and then this summer going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and yet they couldn't get over the hump, right? They weren't able to win it, and so he's making moves now, a little bit like Danny Ainge. Now, Danny Ainge would have blown the whole damn thing up by now. At least Brad Stevens is a little more judicious about it. But yeah, we'll wait to hear from Brad, but this seems pretty much like a financial move. They weren't going to pay more than what the Mavericks were offering. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So Marco Belletti, we've learned that some of our colleagues here at the network are making the jump to Threads. Have you heard about Threads?
I have no idea what you're talking
really?
About.
Really? Jay, he has no idea what Threads means. Well,
I got no clue.
I didn't know what Peter Schwartz was tweeting about when I saw it. Oh gosh, a few hours ago, or maybe before I came in. And then I was driving in and I heard on one of our sister news stations, based in the New York area, that Threads is a new competitor for Twitter. And it's essentially Meta. So it's the Facebook family, and it's tied to your Instagram account. Oh my gosh. So you can, if you have an Instagram account, you can just open up a Threads account. All your contacts move with you. You can keep your same handle. My question is, if you're on Twitter and you're telling everyone you're going to Threads, is that a threat that you're going to leave Twitter and move to Threads and, oh, you better find me over there because I'm not going to be here much longer?
I got to tell you, I'm not the expert on social media, but don't most people, or it seems like a lot of people, have multiple social media accounts? So is it really a threat, or is it just another way to find someone and to follow them somewhere else?
Yeah, I can barely keep up with a few accounts.
Well,
that
but I mean,
have,
like, so. I feel like if you have Facebook and you have Twitter and you have Instagram, like, it was never a knock on the other once you opened up a new account, right? Wasn't it just like a different way to follow
someone?
Well,
this is supposed to be giving you an alternate option because, and I'm using my air quotations, Elon Musk has ruined Twitter. I haven't really noticed a ton of changes. The check mark thing has changed.
That's the problem.
Right, that's the big thing. But also, what I've noticed is there's far less traffic on Twitter. There's a lot of people who've gotten off it or aren't using it as much anymore, because it used to be that routinely, every couple of weeks, I would get another 100 new followers. It was happening a lot. And I think there are fewer people that are using it now because they don't like what Elon Musk has done, because it's been pretty stagnant on Twitter. We still have a ton of traffic on our Facebook page every single day, but in terms of Twitter, it's been relatively stagnant.
To that I can't speak, but I will say the one thing for me with Twitter that changed It did. And it's not because, oh, you're worried about paying for it or, oh, who you think would like. I didn't get the blue check mark before. I didn't get it after. It was the idea if you were looking for information, you knew once you saw that, you knew the person was who they were. That's it. That changed. Right. And that's a problem when you're looking for information, especially quickly.
Right.
Because now people could just pay for it. And what we like, it seems like as a country, we like to troll. So everything becomes a question and it winds up being where you have to investigate when it was supposed to be quickly. It was supposed to be about a quick way to get information. Now it still takes 3, 4, 5 times to check it. So it's not a quick version anymore. That to me is frustrating.
And we've been duped. I mean, people buy their blue check marks, and even Jay and I looking for different insiders and analysts that we can have on the show. We like new voices. And as part of that, we thought we had someone during March Madness, and it turned out to be a college student who had just purchased his blue check mark. And really, we don't have college students as guests here on the show.
But like the school paper.
Right. He wasn't a professional, right? But he looked legit because he had the blue check mark. So Threads is Instagram's new Twitter-like app, according to Zuckerberg. So he's even naming that it's supposed to be like Twitter. Zuckerberg, of course, the founder of Facebook.
Yeah, is he the one that does Instagram? I have no idea.
Right. So Instagram
is part of like Facebook? Yeah, it's in that family?
They bought it.
Facebook bought Insta.
Oh, okay.
Right. And it's all part of this Meta umbrella, which is it's creepy.
Right.
Anyway, so Mark Zuckerberg has started Threads now, which is the sister to Instagram, but it's supposed to be like Twitter. So you can post a certain number of characters, short phrases,
500.
Short 500 characters. Okay, so it's a little more than what you can get into a tweet. But according to Zuck, can we call him Zuck? According to Zuck,
guess so.
It launched with 5 million users. Hey, Jay, do a quick search and Google how many users Twitter has currently, because I know they've dropped a lot lately. But yeah, they've launched with 5 million users. And according to Elon Musk, he says that it's infinitely preferable to be attacked by strangers on Twitter than indulge in the false happiness of hide the pain Instagram. He's such a weirdo. He really is. Well, and yet he's a rich weirdo, so he can do whatever he wants. But yeah, apparently Zuckerberg wants this to compete with Twitter. It's supposed to be similar. It's tied to your Insta account. And then these two are supposed to settle their differences in a cage match, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, Elon Musk, he responds with his cryptic quips, as he typically does.
Look, I'm curious if, again, it would have whatever, I don't care what check mark or whatever it is to be able to differentiate, to know if the person's actually who they say they are. And as long as it's not where everything is like the pictures on Instagram, because that I can't handle. Information, yes.
But these two are going to be tied.
Yeah,
tied together.
Yeah, I feel like I'm out then. I have no interest in looking at everybody's pictures.
Here's why I'm out. Me neither. That's dumb. I understand why people love Instagram, but I can't. Anyway, I barely use my own personal Facebook page anymore. Here's why I'm not doing Threads. Because Facebook is the devil and Mark Zuckerberg might be the Antichrist. And Meta, Facebook, all of that. No, he's out to dominate the world. That's what he's after. And I'm just not. If it was a completely independent company, I would do it, maybe. But I'm not. It's jumping to the Facebook platform. Or Facebook/Insta platform.
Yeah, I don't have either one of those. I always avoided.
You don't have Facebook?
No, never did. No interest.
Well, we have to. We're required by the company to have a Facebook page. Now, that was previous bosses. So the current regime, dictator, if you will, may not have that requirement. But we get so much traffic on our page that we can never shut it down.
As a page, as a show, I understand. I get all that. For me, mm-hmm. personally,
right.
No. And it was because, I mean, Facebook came out way before I was started at this network. It was just the idea that, like, when you did it personally. And this is going to sound bad, but you know what? I mean it. If I didn't really keep up with you after high school, yes. I don't care now either. So, like, no offense, gotcha. But, like, I don't want to do that. You know, if we kept in touch, great. If we didn't, you know, you may be a decent person and we may have been somewhat cool, but, you know, life moved on and I'm good. So I really don't need to go back for that. So there's no need for any of that for me.
Gotcha. For my family, we're spread out all over the country. So we have a lot of people that keep up with my mom through my Facebook page. So there's a lot of reasons. I barely use the personal one anymore. Rarely. I think once every 2 months I'll post. So I don't really have time to pay attention to
it. Like
I
said, I get it. A lot of family members, my wife has it. I'm sure she's on it. Who knows how much? I have no interest. I have zero interest, and I don't know what she does on that. I don't care. I don't want to know any of that stuff. Never mind pictures. If I want a picture from you, good chance I got your number. I'll text you and I want to know.
That's the part that's so frustrating. I have people who only communicate through social when they have my number.
Yeah, see.
Stop it. It's ridiculous.
That's weird.
I'm big on that. If there's something going on, I'm going to text you one-on-one or talk to you one-on-one. I'm most likely text. I don't like to talk. Good chance. I'm not going to do it on social media. So if you don't see the congratulations coming from me on social media, it means that I went one-on-one to the person. Mm-hmm. Agreed. That's for show. I'm not here for someone else to say, hey, good job. It's stupid.
Well, and Facebook birthdays? Are you kidding me? Stop it. From a bunch of people you don't know or people you do know who can't just text you. It's so annoying. All that to say, I can't stand FB or Meta, and so I'm not going to be jumping to Threads. But if you're jumping to Threads and you like it, if you're one of the 5 million, well, then you can find me on Twitter and let us know about Threads. A-Law Radio, because we still have Twitter, and then our Facebook page, too. Coming up, Novak Djokovic advances, but mostly Roger Federer, still the star of the show at Wimbledon.
You are listening to the After Hour.
AT&T Fiber presents a straightforward moment.
Your wine?
Thanks. I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gigillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase in 12 months. Live like a gigillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
Hours Podcast.
Once you've obviously walked through the grounds, you know what makes this place special. But I think as a player, it's the atmosphere, you know, playing on the grass. The crowds, I think, also being so knowledgeable, it's history, of course, you know. And I think also the way the tournament is run, there's a sort of oozes class, and it's very pretty and very calm, like a garden. You're walking through a garden, you know. It's very special, and I always love coming back here.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Roger Federer still hanging out on the hallowed ground of the All England Club. He certainly is a celebrity there, and maybe he's there because he misses it. Maybe he's there because he's being honored in various ways, or maybe he's there because Novak Djokovic could tie his record for 8 Wimbledon titles should he survive the fortnight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That's Sue Barker interviewing Roger Federer on the Wimbledon YouTube channel, but also on CNN. He was asked about Novak possibly tying him with his 8th crown on the men's side.
Honestly, I think it's great for him. You know, I had my moments for me. Having won my 8th or my 5th in a row or whatever it may be, that was my moment, you know. So if somebody equals that, passes that, this is their thing, their moment. And I know nowadays it's especially media driven as well, also then player driven. I was driven as well by trying to break records, to equal records. But I think as you sit back, you have a totally different perspective. As you're not in it anymore, you start relaxing, you're just very proud of your achievement. So I hope he does it, to be honest, because I think anything more he does adds to tennis history, goes above and beyond just talking tennis. He goes into global sports, like when he went to 23 now in Paris. This is incredible stuff, great news, and it's good for the game. So I think he's the heavy favorite, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wins Wimbledon again.
So many reasons why I miss Roger Federer. Many of them have to do with his mastery on the court, specifically on grass. but I miss his class, his humility. And obviously, he had to believe in himself and had a large ego when he was playing, because every athlete at the top of his game has to, or her game. But he is not, he is nothing less than one of the best ambassadors that tennis has ever seen or heard. It's phenomenal. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, as for Novak Djokovic, he's into the third round. Really no struggles other than having to go to a tiebreak in a second set against Australia's Jordan Thompson. But how about this? Another milestone for Novak. Grand Slam victory number 350 in his career. And he's honest about the fact that every time he steps on the court, there is a pressure there.
I don't think it's ever going to change as long as I'm playing, really, regardless of the Grand Slam count fact. I still want to make my own results and my own journey, and that's what drives me the most, I think, nowadays.
It was asked specifically about the pressure of getting Grand Slam win number 24. So he's sitting on 23, most among the men, right? Rafa has 22. Federer has 20. They've left Fed in the dust. Rafa may or may not ever play competitively in a Grand Slam again. We know he's dealing with a hip injury. So Novak is the favorite. If he gets to 24, he ties Margaret Court for the most all time, either men or women.
Every time I walk out on the court, particularly in Grand Slams and center courts, I feel, of course, tremendous pressure and expectations for myself, from people around that are watching live or on TV, or the whole tennis world. It's a feeling that I'm used to right now by now, and it's something that I also embrace, because it's giving me further motivation, you know, to strive to make more histories.
I'm a big fan of the three of them, Novak, Rafa, Roger. So glad I got to see them play at their height and watch their rivalries. And I've said this a bunch, and I'll say it again. I don't think we see the quality of tennis or the level that these three ascended to if they're playing in separate eras. They pushed each other. They dragged the best out of one another, because if they weren't playing at their absolute best beyond what they ever thought possible, they weren't going to be able to keep up with the others, right? So this trio has defined tennis for the last 20 years, and I'm not sure these records will ever be equaled. But you know what? People thought that about Roger Federer 5 years ago, and look where Novak is now. A little bit later, wait till you hear his answer to a question about aging and whether or not he feels his age in the mid-30s out there on the court playing with guys who are 15 years younger, like Carlos Alcaraz, still a baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.